Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, November 16th. I'm Ray Graff. There's a relatively optimistic outlook on the job market these days. Unemployment rates are lower and steady. And that's great news if you're looking for a job. Of course, finding the job is the trick. Well, we have career counselors here in the studio to help answer your questions about finding a job, about finding out what it is you want to do and launching that career. Give us a call now with your career questions. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. It's a career forum today. Your calls and your emails coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call and talk show. I'm Ray Graff. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says the unemployment rate in this country is hovering around 5%, currently 4.9. That's roughly half of what it was during the Great Recession and holding steady since August 2015. So we seem to be on the right track. Jobs are out there. You just have to get them. That's where our career panel comes in. We have Anita DeCiani-Brown, College-Wide Career Development Coordinator at SUNY Empire State College, and Luke Schmonsky, Director of the Center for Student Success at Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences. And Luke also teaches a course on career development at St. Rose. They're here to answer your questions right now. Looking for a job? Preparing for an interview? Need to get that resume updated? Now's the time to call. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Anita and Luke, welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, actually, welcome back, Anita. Mm-hmm. Welcome for the first time. Luke, nice to have you here.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
And don't be nervous.
I'm not.
Anita's an old pro at this now, so she's very calm. And before we started the show, Anita, you said this is sort of the time. If you're thinking about a career switch, this would be the time. Why?
Now would be the time to start looking at, next year I want to start looking for a new position. So doing an evaluation of yourself and preparing for what's to come. So if you are looking at, a particular type of industry, if you're switching industry, start doing homework and research, because, you can't just send one resume out to 50 places and expect results. You need to know how do you present yourself to this organization versus this organization. You want to focus on, fine-tuning your skills and looking at, how can I find my niche here and there, and also, take advantage of networking opportunities. Now, this might be a good time to really start reaching out to people and say, I'm going to be looking for something, and keep your ears out for me. Let me know if you hear of anything.
You deal, and you both deal, presumably, with alumni that come back perhaps years later and say, mm-hmm. I'm ready to make a switch. At what point do you, Anita, and Luke say, maybe this is not a good fit for you? Do you ever have to do that? Do you rain on a parade?
In terms of them saying, this is what I'm looking to do now, and we say that this isn't a good fit? Yeah. I don't know if we necessarily – you have to let them kind of figure that out. There's a lot of assessments that you can do. There's personality-based assessments. There's strengths based assessments.
And do you do those tests?
We can, yes. For instance, I'm certified in the Myers-Briggs, the Strong Interest Inventory, as well as StrengthsQuest. So those are three assessments hitting on different aspects. And you can utilize those assessments to kind of help guide them for the right direction and show them, you might not want to go into nursing here because you don't really want to work with people, right? And those are the conversations that sometimes you need to have.
So Myers-Briggs, what is that?
Myers-Briggs. It's the personality assessment, and it was developed by details are not my strong.
That's
strong,
fine.
So that's why I'm
that's
not an
fine.
Accountant. But it's based off. It's a personality assessment that was based off Carl Jung's theory of personality development. And Isabel Briggs Myers and I'm forgetting the mother. It's a mother-daughter tandem. Mm-hmm. They brought this information, so you can utilize it in everyday work. I would go into an office, for instance, and everybody would get their personality type, what personality suits them, their preference. So extrovert versus introvert, detail-oriented versus not detail-oriented, big picture, so to speak.
And how those personalities can work together.
And how those personalities work together, absolutely.
Yep. And Anita, do you find that this sort of testing has a lasting benefit when you're doing your job, or is it more personal than that?
I am not certified. However, I have worked with a lot of people that are certified in Myers-Briggs. At SUNY Empire, there is somebody that is certified in administering the test. And if I know the information based on somebody's personality type, so there's 16 different personality types, there are preferred careers, not to say that
pigeonholing people into
definitely
careers.
What you want to do. And one example is for my personality type, a biology teacher was one of the career options. And the teacher aspect I could definitely see, but the biology piece is just not
That's
fitting.
That's fascinating.
Me, so.
Don't you find it offensive to some extent to say, well, Anita, you are this personality type? I would find that to be grating.
No, because I think it actually, when you really start learning about the Myers-Briggs, again, I'm not certified in it, but I have been to a lot of workshops and presentations based on it. It gave me a lot of insight into who I was, what drives me.
Is it a self-fulfilling prophecy, though? Once you get the result, you say, oh, that's what I am. That's what I'll
no,
be.
No, I use that information because I know, and with the students that I've worked with, if they've already had it, or, you know, I mean, I talk to them a lot about their interests and, you know, their previous experiences and what are the things that you like to do? You know, what are your work values? What are... maybe places that you want to work versus the industries that you want to work, and start looking at, you know, finding where you're going to feel comfortable. I know in my own case, I did a lot of not soul searching, but knowing this is what I want to do and here's where I want to do it. And I feel that as a result of all the homework and preparation that I did on myself, my job search ended up being
easy.
Not easy because it took time, but it has been the most rewarding experience.
Fascinating. I imagine there are probably people who take this test, Luke Schmonsky, who the answer is you're not suited to any job. You should be sitting on the couch.
Well, no. I mean, I think it's a. First off, I can't. We have to call it an assessment. That's part
Fine.
Of the
whatever.
And it is, and it's a preference. What they're looking at is a personality preference. It's not really meant to indicate anything else.
But does it show in the long term? Is there a success rate? In other words, those preferences indicated by this test or this assessment, if you will, down the road 20 years. Have you seen success based on the results of this?
Well, I think what it might help people identify is not necessarily a particular job, but maybe also an environment, an environment that they might be successful in. For instance, I'm in higher ed, and I was joking before about not being an accountant. I'm not a detailed person. I live in Albany. If somebody stops me while I'm jogging in the morning and asks me directions to a place, I say I'm not from here because I'm really bad at giving directions.
Oh, great.
So I would never go into a particular field where I am called on to respond to maybe a lot of details or what have you. And that's just an example. So it kind of helps people gear them up to be successful, to maybe find an environment that that's going to complement their personality preferences.
It is a career forum today on Vox Pop. Our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined by Anita DeCiani-Brown, who is College-Wide Career Development Coordinator at SUNY Empire State College, and Luke Schmonsky, who is Director of the Center for Student Success at Albany College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences, also a teacher of a course on career development at St. Rose. And Anita, you said resume time. This is the time. If you're thinking next year, I'm making that switch. What sort of a resume mistake is the most common mistake that you see that you say, well, listen, we have to work on this?
I think that the biggest thing is moving away from taking your duties that you do on a day-to-day basis. And pretty much, I mean, I've seen cases where people lift their job description and paste it into their resume. And that's great for a starting point, but then you need to take it a step further. So, you know, if you are, say, answering phones, add some data to that. You know, I mean, is it a very busy office? Are you, you know, responding to up to 200 calls per day and greeting 100 visitors per day versus just putting reception? If you are somebody that's working and doing social media outreach for a place, you know, look at what have been your successes. Have you had any successful campaigns? Instead of just saying manage social media for the office, put the important things that are going to stand out, your accomplishments, because those are the things that is going to be what's going to jump out to a potential employer as opposed to just listing social media background.
But are there not dangers? In other words, I've looked at more than a few resumes over the years, and there's a certain BS filter that goes on. Mm-hmm. And if you see someone who answered phones, and mm-hmm. there's a four-paragraph explanation of, well, what sort of phones, how many I took, mm-hmm. you need to say, well, this person answered phones.
Right. Those things need to developing your resume is one piece. Then reaching out to people and asking them to take a critical look at your resume is another.
And so that's one thing that you do.
Yes,
you will take a look and say, not so much here.
Yeah, I mean, I in my appointments with students and alumni, it is a conversation of, okay, what are you looking to do, and then now let's talk about what you've done and how can we tweak this. And I normally give suggestions on, well, you know, you could build this up. Well, this really isn't necessary. You know, focus on some of the bigger picture things. And I give them a couple exercises to do. And sometimes they realize in the conversation that there's things that they've left off that they really should put on there, because maybe they only do something once a year, but it's what I call a big ticket item.
Yeah.
And it really shows, you know, maybe project management or something like that. And, you know, it brings out other skill sets.
Helpful to have another set of eyes. It is a career forum on Vox Pop today. Anita Deciani-Brown and Luke Schmonsky are here to answer your calls. You ready to take some calls? All right, we'll do it right after this break. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number.
Support for WAMC comes from The Whistling Kettle, helping to promote tea culture in the Capital Region with over 150 teas and menu of sweet and savory selections. TheWhistlingKettle.com for live chat. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. AGStewardship.org. Rhinebeck Artist Shop, Rhinebeck, New Paltz, Kingston. 40 years of providing professional picture framing, fine art materials, and holiday art sets, stocking stuffers, and materials for young artists. RhinebeckArt.com. Pelham Auto Service, at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig. A worker-owned and operated service, repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com. And the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world. WaldorfSaratoga.org.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here. It's Career Forum, and we are joined today by Lou Schmonsky of Albany College of Pharmacy and a professor at St. Rose. Also, Anita Deciani-Brown, who is College-Wide Career Development Coordinator at SUNY Empire State College. Our number is 800-348-2551. And let's go to the phones and Val in Springfield, Mass. Val, you're on.
Hi, nice to speak with you. I'm so glad to hear this show because I am a success story from Empire State.
Cool.
Yay.
Wow, great.
I went back to school at 50 because I got, you know, I got wealthy immediately. I was entrepreneurial, and I made money in my 20s, and then I thought, oh, I better go and get some kind of an education. It was the best place, and the interest inventories that I took, and the MBTI, it's a combination. It's the way they work together to pare down your interest. It's the way they ask questions that you would never think to ask yourself. That's how they work.
Wow. What a glowing endorsement. Anita, you're speechless.
No, it's great. I went to Vanderbilt. I got a great job at Vanderbilt University. Now I'm at Smith. I'm very happy. I'm 67 years old, and I feel like I'm 25.
Oh, that is so cool. I'm 52. I feel like I'm 96. So that's radio for you.
Get off the radio. Get out of entertainment.
That's right. Val, thanks a lot.
All right. Bye-bye.
800-348-2551. You see, Anita? It's all about the ego gratification.
You
that's
know.
Why we had you here. Let's go to Elda in Ulster County. Elda, you're on.
Hi. Well, I don't know if I'm going to boost your ego.
Uh-oh.
But I wanted to ask you what the downside of this type of testing is, because I have a granddaughter who for 2 or 3 years before she entered high school was aspiring to be an FBI or CIA agent. And then when she took this test, they told her she should be a photographer.
Huh.
Well, I think that is a danger of some of these assessments. Sometimes, and I'm not, you know, blaming anyone or anything, sometimes people are utilizing these assessments and they're not necessarily certified to particularly go over the results or what have you. And a lot of times people take these assessments, they get a printout of their 10 top 10 careers, and those are the ones that they're just told to go after these careers without any kind of explanation. Why are we going into photography? That those are the conversations that need to happen for these particular assessments.
Yeah, well, I guess the person who gave the test didn't have the qualifications then, because it was pretty devastating to her that happened.
Well, it's not obligatory that she follow those answers, right?
I know, but it was kind of a blow to her aspirations and to her self-esteem to be able to shoot higher than what she was shooting for.
I get it.
And usually, though, she said that she wanted to be in the FBI, I think, right? Was that?
Yeah, she wanted to be an investigator.
Yeah, and I think once you have an idea, you have a career goal, sometimes you don't really need to take those assessments because you have
go
that career
it.
Goal
right.
And you have something in your mind that you want to do. And that's when you skip the assessments and you go right for the research. And Anita mentioned it before, you go right for the networking. You start talking to people who are potentially in that field.
There you go.
Right. Well, I'm going to try to re-encourage her. But she was given the test in school.
In grade school? High school? What school?
In high school.
Oh,
high school. Her first year of high school.
Is that common?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yes, I mean, part of the what I do in my graduate class is I teach these assessments. I say these are the importance of the assessment. This is how you would give an assessment. But I say the most important thing is to not just give the assessment and say, here are your careers, go after these. You have to have a conversation about it. I mean, talking to them about the assessment first and then having whatever exercises, whatever, to kind of make connections and explain the results of that assessment.
Career Forum today on Vox Pop. Anita Deciani-Brown is here and Luke Schmonsky. And let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. And let's go to Gloria in New York. Where are you in New York, Gloria?
I'm in Cambridge.
Nice to have you here.
My question to you is, do you have to take this test in school? I mean, do you have to go to the college to take the test? Or is there people that will give that test as counselor to, or say, like a life coach?
Oh, yeah. I think life coach, independent career counselors all have most likely assessments that they work with. And if you go online and you Google career assessments, there's tons of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are trained and certified to utilize these assessments to just kind of help guide people. And it's really not it's not 25 minutes, sit down, take an assessment,
here's
boom,
what
there's
be.
Your answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like that. It's a starting point. And it's meant to kind of get people going, because there are a lot of people out there that don't know what they want to do, but what they do know is they don't want to be doing what they're currently doing. So they need to maybe get jump-started and get some ideas. And that's what the assessments are really designed to help do.
Gloria, thank you so much for the call. 800-348-2551. Is there a time, is there a month where you find people who are more people who are restive, ready for change than other months? Is this the peak month for frustration?
I don't know about frustration, but you know, I mean, the new year always people say, all right, I wanna get a new job in this new year. But the thing that you have to realize in today's job market is you can't on, you know, December 1st say, I'm going to get a new job and I'm going to start it in January. Because, you know, the job market is it's growing, but it's still competitive. And you are competing with people that, you know, there's a lot of people that have gone into, have retired from one position and said, I'm going to go back into the job market because I want to do something fun this time around.
Yeah.
I want, you know, I've had my first career and now I want to go and do something else. So there's competition on all levels. And, you know, you can't go at it just saying I'm going to start in January.
So my astronaut career, probably not a good fit in January.
You should talk.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe I'll take the test. Let's go to Laura in Barneville. Laura, you're on.
Hi. I was wondering what a modern cover letter looks like. I've seen so many generic different types, and I'm just wondering what employers are looking for to kind of make my resume and my cover letter distinct from other people.
Splendid.
Yeah, I almost a simple answer for this one. Stories and examples. A lot of people write cover letters. I'm a great communicator. I'm organized. But they're not giving any specific examples. They're not backing it up. And that's what employers want to see.
But don't they have to be fairly brief? You don't want a 4-page cover letter, do you?
No. 1 page.
Yeah, 1 page, 4 paragraphs, but you can do that in 4 short paragraphs. Absolutely.
And one cover letter does not fit all. Every single cover letter has to be individualized because you can apply to the same organization for 3 different positions. You're going to have 3 completely different cover letters because each one is going to be looking for a different skill set, different requirements of the job. And that's what you want to highlight in each one of those letters.
Yeah, using the same cover letter over and over again can definitely be detrimental to your job search.
Are there good examples online that Laura might be able to find?
Yeah, there's just so much information out there to get through it.
Well, how much bad information is out there?
If Google resume writing, and I've seen some awful,
awful
resumes.
Me too.
Now, but one thing I would recommend doing, though, and Laura, I'm not sure where you're calling from or what have you, or anybody. Maybe a local community college has some online resources, or your alma mater, or whatever. I mean, there are some resources that you can look for out there, and you might be able to see some that's recognized by a professional organization.
Mm-hmm. All right, Laura, thank you very much for the call. Our number here on Vox Pop is 800-348-2551. Over to Kathy in Glenmont. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
You're on.
My question is this. I currently have a 3-page resume. I'm 50, have worked part-time for the past 10 years because I was a stay-at-home mom. But now I'm looking to get back into the full-time job market. How many pages is too many pages for a resume? Because I have such an eclectic mix of experience.
Love this question.
Yeah.
You really should keep to 2 pages if
Why?
Possible. Because people don't want to read many pages. They're scanning through a resume. So what I normally recommend is starting to look at, again, what are you applying to and what types of positions are you applying to? And then what are the skill sets? What are the things that you can highlight on your resume for this particular area that can make you stand out? Because it's not necessarily the quantity But the quality of the information is there.
Okay, but now Kathy is 50 and entering the job market again. For those of us in that age group, done many, many things, you no longer then provide a chronological assessment of what you've done, a list, if you will. But many times an employer will say, well, I don't see any. If you put only the germane tasks in to the job you are applying for, your employer, your potential employer may say, well, geez, what did you do for that 2.5 years? There's a gap there.
I'm not necessarily saying to take everything out. I mean, if you're showing continuous employment, but how do you present the information? I mean, there's a lot of talk that you can take off anything from 10 year or only keep information on for the past 10 years. I tend to talk with people about what relevant information do you have? I mean, I had information that went back over 20 years on my resume because it was relevant to what I was applying to.
So that pizza delivery part-time job that helped you get through college, not necessarily worthy of putting on. Kathy, you want to follow up?
I guess that was my first professional job at 17 has always been in administration.
Okay.
You know, executive assistant type things. So I think all of my experience is relevant.
Yeah, and then it could just be a matter of, all right, well, are the responsibilities increasing, okay, from the position when you were 17 moving forward? Do we have increased responsibility? And maybe we focus on those experiences and then just have a running list of the various positions that you had that you just want to highlight. I mean, it's really individualized. It's actually great that you do have 3 pages because it's much easier to take 3 pages and get to 2 than it is to take half and try to get to 1. And again, it's also individualized in terms of what you're looking for as well.
And you could take that, if a lot has been in the same field, just maybe going from, you know, one place to another, you can highlight accomplishments and skills. And then at the very end, you can have your list of, the dates of employment. And that way you are talking more about the functions and what you bring to this particular position. And then, again, on the bottom of your resume, you're going to show your experience and the places where you've worked.
Kathy, thank you very much for the call. It's a career forum on WAMC Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. You have stated, I'm not sure how you have backed it up, but that 2 pages is what employers want to see. What if you are the greatest person in the whole wide world and you have done everything? And it's five pages long, but everything is impressive. Doesn't an employer want to see that?
Well, I think there are ways that you can shorten that up a little bit. And your cover letter comes into play as well. I think that's something where you might be able to highlight something else. Employers are really looking at cover letters now, and they don't really necessarily want, they're not going to get through 5 pages of a resume. I mean, if you take a look at what's the average time that they spend, an employer spends on a resume, they say like 50 to 30 seconds or what, 8 seconds, I don't know, people are.
Well, the first scan.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they zip through it.
And 5 pages doesn't, you might have key information that's hidden on that 4th page. It might not get to that.
Is it good to exaggerate to get an attention?
No, never good to exaggerate.
No.
Even a little bit.
No, because they'll call you on it.
Yep.
But you'll get a call.
Right, but then you'll get in an interview and then.
Then you talk your way out of it. If they're going to scan through it and throw it away after 30 seconds, you need to catch their attention, yes?
You need to catch their attention, but you need to catch their attention with the right information because, people will get caught. If you put an exaggeration on there, and I use this as an example of, putting quantitative information on a resume. But if I were to say that I'm a grant writer, I could submit my resume and say that. I've written grants, I have, but I've never been awarded a grant, so I know what it takes to put into it, but I can't really call myself a grant writer because I've never been awarded a grant. I've never been successful in that. So I probably wouldn't apply and put myself out there if this was a key qualification of a job, if I haven't had successful experience in it yet.
So lying is out. How do you catch attention of a potential employer in that 30 seconds that you have?
Go ahead.
It's really the content. It's the action verbs. It's those bulleted statements. When they start reading down that resume and that first experience, you want to catch their eye. And that's specific examples. I talk a lot with my students about employers want to see that you can solve problems. Right? Where there's problems, there's jobs.
Or create problems in the case of a newsroom.
So I talk about the PAR approach, problem, action, result. And if you can create an action statement where you state a quick problem, an action that you took, and a favorable result, that's going to catch their eye, okay? It's really in those action statements. And a lot of people make the mistake of having big paragraphs after their job. I did this job, and they write everything out in a paragraph. That's a huge mistake because that's going to take them at least 30 seconds maybe.
And that's your 30 seconds. That is your allotment.
Exactly. So if you have those action statements and they go down and they scan for those keywords, and then they're not saying that they're going to read the whole thing right there, but it's at least going to go in the yes or maybe pile and not the no pile, which is a lot bigger.
Interesting. I know from being in radio for 1,000 years that it's a little different here. When applying for various different professional positions, how important is it, and we have a break coming up in about a minute and a half, and then we'll get back to the phones. How important is it to change up the look and the focus of your resume to suit the, in other words, do your research and find out about the potential employer? Is it important to make that switch, or does one size fit all with your resume?
I tend to say no. I think that it really depends on what you're pursuing. So I used the example earlier. I could apply, and I'll use SUNY Empire as an example, or a college, any college as an example. You could apply to three different positions within that college, and you may be talking to, you may be highlighting different aspects in on your resume for that. So I look at, you know, maybe the professional summary, what used to be an objective, but a professional summary area with bullet points.
So that would change.
Right. So, if somebody was going for a marketing position, you would highlight marketing experience there. Or if they were in the Student Success Center, it would be another. Or if you were in business services, it would be another. And you would speak to your skill sets and your successes and attributes in that top third of the resume, and then it could get you to go on.
All right, we'll take a quick break here. 800-348-2551. It's Career Forum today on Vox Pop. Anita DeCiani Brown is here, and Luke Schmonsky, and we'll be back with the home stretch and more of your calls coming up.
Support for WMC comes from Chester Common Table, new restaurant on Main Street, Chester, Massachusetts, locally sourced comfort food, beers and spirits, outdoor seating, live music weekends, comfortable setting, chestercommontable.com. Claire Pearson, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, for 14 years, offering plant, spirit medicine, and energy clearing for health, body, mind, and spirit, clarepearson.net. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio, FortHillAutoBody.com. And George Heigl, Cowan's representative, available for estate, trust, and full collection evaluations and consultations in the Capital Region, 518-396-7974. And Bodywork Professionals, licensed massage therapists, Nick Pavaldi, Advanced Structural Integration Practitioner, proprietor, offices in Latham and Saratoga Springs, open 7 days, your massage and bodywork experts, bodyworkprofessionals.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, Careers Today. Anita DeCiani Brown and Luke Schmonsky here to answer your questions at 800-348-2551. Let's go to Cookie in Bethlehem. Hi, Cookie.
Hi. I'm 67 also, and I have had the exact opposite of most of what this advice that you're talking about is. In other words, I've been in about I could say at least 10 different career categories and not always doing the same thing, but knowing that I'm very entrepreneurial and research-oriented, I found my way into these things by hook and crook, except for now that I'm 67. You know, I have noticed in the last 20 years the jobs that I could easily do, and this is when I lived in New York City primarily, there were always 30-year-olds who with far fewer qualifications or experience who always got, regardless of their ability, the jobs that people my age were looking for, especially after this big financial crash in 08. You can't believe how many professionals were out in the street in New York City. So now that I'm up here and it's a smaller market and I'd like to get into a cause-oriented, research-driven, entrepreneurial thing, what comes to mind is the status of the water of both the earth but also locally. But I have no background. It's not like I haven't done this 20 times before, but this one really flummoxes me because it's too general of an idea. And I'd like to know if you have any advice for people who want to yet again take the 1,000th plunge but are much older and don't now have the same, I would say, market acceptance rate.
This is a fairly common problem.
I would say this all began in my
40s. Yeah. All right, let's hear it from our experts.
Well, I'm going to go back to the networking aspect in a situation like this. 77% of the jobs, and this came from NACE, which is a professional organization, National Association for Colleges and Employers. Yeah. What they said is 77% of the jobs that are hired for every year were never really advertised. And you're looking at something really specialized in this particular instance. So getting out there and networking with people, you said that you have a lot of different backgrounds and like 10 different backgrounds and experiences. Well, you might want to put together also like a functional resume that just really focuses on skills for this particular situation. And just kind of to network. And you said you have an entrepreneurial spirit. Well, be your own advocate here and really talk to people and see if you can't kind of make your own position.
Mm-hmm. And find...
Yes, I've done that 3 or 4 times before, but good. I was living in New York City where all you got to do is change your clothes, cross the street, and there's a million other things right in your face. Up here, upstate, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's few and far between.
Right, but and there's also in the networking, you can look at are there organizations locally that are having not meetups, but something similar to that. Are there presentations? The different chambers and even the state. There are presentations and workshops, and if because you are looking at such a specialized area, find out when things are happening around that topic and go, show up, engage with people, and you can use even social media, and for example, LinkedIn groups and things like that to find out where some of these meetings may be happening and reach out and engage with people during those times.
All right. Well, Cookie, good luck, and we appreciate the call. Let's go on over to Cindy in Albany. Cindy, you're on.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. I'm enjoying the show, so thank you.
Thank you.
I wanted to respond to a previous caller. She was talking about her granddaughter who took tests and was told that she should be a photographer.
Oh, I knew it was coming to this. An angry photographer would call. All right.
Yes, I'm the angry photographer that's feeling insulted right now.
I'm so sorry. Well, people are people.
But the reason that I wanted to share my message is I've made a good career out of being a photographer for about 25 years, and I think that the woman is just and the granddaughter perhaps just underestimating the skill set that goes along with being a photographer. Because I'm a news photographer, and a lot of what I do is troubleshooting, and I have to think quick and make fast decisions, and I have to shift my momentum. And I think that in some of what I do is investigative. I'm like given a concept. you know, not just go and photograph this festival, but we have this concept and we want you to, you know, visually communicate that for us. And so I have to go out and find things and figure it out. And so I've often likened what I do to being almost like an investigative, like a detective, which isn't so far different from what the young lady was looking at being involved with the FBI.
Well, you make a point. Luke, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, and I agree 100% with all this, and that's what transferable skills are. And I think if somebody sat down with this young lady that we were talking about before and kind of explained, well, there's a lot of similarities between this and what you're actually looking to do, then we would have maybe had a different outcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cindy, thanks a lot, and we're in solidarity with you. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Career Forum on Vox Pop today. Let's go to Ray in Massachusetts. Ray, where are you in Mass?
I'm in Sunderland, Mass.
Well, good to have you on the program. You are on.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I was 52, 53 back in 08, and I lost my job, downsized. And I used my resume that I had been taught to use in college. You know, you list chronologically your jobs and how you progressed. And the last job I'd had was 25 years as a controller, and prior to that I was a plant controller. But that resume got absolutely no bites, and I sent it out to 150 different job applications. And then I got, so I said, well, let me try hiring a professional to write it, and I got some fellow online, and he sent me a resume, and I mean, to me, it was just gobbledygook. But I said, oh, I'll try it. So I sent it out, and every time I send that resume out, I get a bite.
Huh.
I get... And I'm wondering if it's the words that he used, you know, that catches. I wonder if there's some kind of code now, a human resource code that they're looking.
Very interesting.
Words.
Well, Luke mentioned verbs, and in copywriting, there are certain tricks when you're running commercials. So, Luke, take it.
Yeah, there are what they call scannable resumes now, where they go through a software, and they flag the keywords that they're looking for, and those are the ones that they might call on. Now, that's not in every profession, so that's not universal. But I do think that people are trained to look for those keywords and those key responsibilities, and to format it so they're getting that right away. That's the key. That's how you cut through the clutter, so to speak.
Very interesting. Well, Ray,
so I thought I'd throw that out, and maybe it'll help some people.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Careers today on Vox Pop with Luke Schmonsky and Anita DeCiani-Brown. Let's go to Suzanne in Saratoga. Suzanne.
Hi. This is very timely for me. I was actually going through all my old paperwork and getting out my old resumes today because I am trying to get back into the work world. I have been out for about 6 years due to illness, and it's very difficult for me to figure out how you diplomatically put your lapse of time on a resume, and then if you're in an interview when they say, well, what you been doing?
Yeah.
It's kind of awkward. So any advice on how to handle that?
Anita.
One of the things that you can think about in this gap, understanding that there was an illness involved, but you know, what are things that you may have done? Some people may have gone back and taken some classes in the interim. Some people may have been able to be involved in community service activities. There are people that have been stay-at-home parents as well. So there are resumes today that do have some gaps. And I think it is making sure that you use the right content. Even on your past experience, what is the information? How are you presenting it? And then, in doing outreach, some of these positions that you may be looking at and applying to, it could be through that word of mouth, letting somebody know, hey, I'm looking for a job, if you know of something. They will ask the questions of what have you been doing over the past few years? And, you know, you certainly don't want to lie or mislead.
Right.
But, you know, there is, are there fillers? And I guess that's one of the things. Are there fillers that you can put in there? You know, what besides the illness is there? Have you had an opportunity to do anything?
Well, let me ask you this question. What if it was a debilitating illness and you don't really want to talk about it? How much can they ask and say, well, what was wrong with you?
I think that there's also help, like through the Department of Labor. You know, there are disability services that you can also turn to. We did a program a few weeks or a couple months ago where, you know, they do have employers that they work with that can help you into this next step. So getting back into the workforce because of an illness.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Suzanne.
So, Department of Labor, go visit them and tell them specifically you're interested in finding out how to get back into the workforce after an illness. And then they could direct you to the proper resources there at Department of Labor.
Yeah, they do. I know that they have presentations. They have, I apologize, I can't think of the exact title, but they do have people that. Do outreach, and they do help, and it is broken up by region in New York.
Right.
So there are people that, and I know that it's on their website who you can turn to.
Well, thank you, Suzanne. We appreciate it, and good luck. You know, it's funny you brought up. She brought up stay-at-home moms, or maybe you brought that, mm-hmm. or stay-at-home dads, as the case may be. 7, 8, 10 years. Why is it there's still a stigma attached to that? That is probably one of the most demanding jobs one can do. And how can you maximize that?
You know, with stay-at-home mom, well, with people that are raising, staying home to raise their family, what are other things that you may be doing in addition to that? Are
but
you?
Well, why do you need an addition to that?
Well,
there are tremendous skill sets involved with that.
I know. Yeah. I'm a mom.
Yeah. Well, I'm not indicting you. This is not 60 minutes.
No,
I'm just saying
but I
it
know
drives
how
me
much.
Crazy
I know
that
how,
if
much.
You, how tough it is mm-hmm. for stay-at-home moms or dads to get back in the workforce. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's more of a just and Anita was mentioning, you know, doing something in addition. Mm-hmm. It's keeping the skills sharp, I guess, mm-hmm. In terms of what your career is. I mean, not to turn it back on me, but my wife stayed at home for 2 years, and she's a teacher, and she tutored. I mean, it wasn't much at all. Mm-hmm. It was like once a week, but it was just something to say that, you know, I'm still in this field, that kind of thing.
And being involved in volunteer organizations and charities, you know, that is a tremendous way that you can stay involved and build skill sets. You know, it's one thing to show up at a Relay for Life. It's another to be part of the organizational planning of it, because, you know, then you can talk about event planning and logistics where, you know, if you just volunteer and show up that day to walk, that isn't the true.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certainly fundraising, and there's a lot that you gain from that. But if you have time, these are things that you might mm-hmm. want to get involved in to help keep your skills current.
All right. This one came in via email from Mark, and we have a minute or two here left. Mark writes, folks like myself from the old school were taught to actually send cover letters and resumes through the mail. These days, it seems like many of today's young people are using Facebook, LinkedIn, Craigslist to find work. How important is social media to finding a job in 2016? Do job seekers today have to have an online presence? We have a minute and 30 seconds. Take it.
I would highly recommend having a LinkedIn profile, not one that you just post and say, here it is, I have it, one that you utilize. Because we mentioned networking before, and LinkedIn is a very good aid to help you with networking's hard. And LinkedIn can kind of set that up for you and help guide you through that process.
But that would be a totally other show. It's to make sure that your social media. When I said, if you're planning a job search, if you're planning a job search in 6 months, look at your social media and what you're putting out there today, because you do have to be careful on what's out
there. Some mistakes to be made there, right?
Yeah, people will Google your name.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, obviously, if you're showing pictures of yourself drinking 10 beers at the barbecue, not necessarily the best.
Like I said, that's a whole other show. I mean, I did a research project on just this
really?
Topic. Yeah.
What'd you learn?
Well,
you have 10 seconds. What did you learn?
What I learned was that you really do have to be careful in everything that you do, and you can be a representative of your organization even if you don't intend to be.
We hear that a lot in the media. Well, thank you so much, Anita Desiani-Brown and Luke Schmonsky, for being here. What a fast hour, and thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from Nine Pin Cider Works, hard cider made from locally sourced apples, tasting room Wednesday through Sunday at 929 Broadway, Albany. Be revolutionary, consider the apple, and drink New York apples. NinePinCider.com. Dance Flurry announcing Albany Shindig this Friday, 7 p.m. at First Congregational Church, Albany, featuring a concert and participatory hoedown dance with live fiddle music. DanceFlurry.org for information. Penny Farthing Investment Management Amherst, a socially conscious fee-only investment advisor of personal retirement and endowment portfolios, including the Bright Penny Community Strategies, brightpenny.org, and the 1850 House and Tavern, featuring enclosed and heated deck, 435, waterfront dining in the center of the Hudson Valley where the mountains meet the Catskills, the1850house.com. Thanks again to Anita and Luke for being here. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy, gainfully employed at the controls today. And your phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell, our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's another exciting edition of the show. Stamps and coins, don't you know? Set your alarms now. The news is next.